Jim Baxter has been working as a taxidermist for 49 years.
49 years ago I started. It's art. It's definitely art. 49 years.
Basically, I started working for Hawkins Taxidermy, which is now a defunct company. And there is no real school to go and learn. You learn by watching somebody else do part of it and then modify it to you the way you like it.
I visited him in his shop, Telsky Taxidermist, at 545 Arlington Street here in Winnipeg.
Oh, you gotta be very creative. It's a job where you gotta be jack of all trades and a master of them all.
His workshop is like a museum, with fish and animals of all kinds hanging on every wall.
I like animals.
Some people don't like this sort of thing, but Jim thinks of it as an art, and himself as an artist.
Yeah, I don't know, taxidermists are funny guys. We love animals, or you can't do the job. If you don't love an animal, you can't make a dead animal look alive again. And our pets are pampered, because we work with dead things. When we go home, we pick up the dog, he's pampered, because he's alive.
Speaking of pets, I asked Jim if he ever has people ask him to mount their pets to keep them forever after they've died.
Well, not pets. We get them asking for them, but we don't do them.
Why not?
Because you, for instance, if you had a dog and you had that dog for 5 years or 10 years, you know every quirk about the dog. I can't replace all those quirks. However, if it's a bear, you went out and shot it, you never seen it alive, except maybe for a few seconds. So I can do it and you think it's perfect. But in reality, it's my, as an artist, that's an artist's conception of the bear.
Jim knows a lot about animals and is a self-described animal lover.
Exactly. That's what people say. How can you love animals and do it? Well, if you don't love animals, you can't do it. It's just one of those silly things that you have to be an animal lover. You have to have studied animals. And I got a lot of years of studying animals. And, you know, you learn more about them. And without that knowledge of the animal, you can't do it.
He seems like an encyclopedia when it comes to describing the fur, claws, and different characteristics of each animal and how that animal lives in its natural habitat.
Which is a member of the weasel family, second largest member of the weasel family. A wolverine is the largest weasel. These are the second largest.
Which makes sense. Taxidermy used to be the way that people learned about animals. Darwin, for example, had to learn taxidermy to preserve his specimens.
Well, you always got to study anatomy, but the bone is still in there. And if you take the bone out, then you cut shape a wire first before you throw the bone away. And so you know exactly where the elbow is, the wrist is, etc., etc.
You know, it looks quite curved. He cannot climb a tree.
That is also a beaver, but it's almost an albino. Not quite. It's very, very pale. And we did one not that long ago that was snow white. So they do come in various color shades.
That's polar bear.
That's a polar bear?
Yeah, polar bears aren't soft, contrary to what people think.
And their claws are smaller.
Yeah, this well, you always check the front ones. They're a little bigger than the backs, but
oops,
sorry. See, there's no comparison. No, bearskin rugs.
Oh,
if it's on that wall, it's a rug. I like doing bears the best because I like bears.
Well, monkeys would be difficult because.
Well, how often do you have the monkeys around to, you know, to study?
There is something interesting about seeing an animal up close. Something different than seeing an animal on screen, on, say, the National Geographic Channel. It seems that Jim has mounted everything, from hummingbirds to walruses. Jim keeps photographs of a lot of his most interesting work.
Like I said, walrus, crocodiles, Nile crocodile, not... That's a Nile crocodile. That was 15 and a half feet. This tiger was actually born and died in captivity. These here, that's a polar bear that's we done up for, I don't know where this one went. It's somewhere in the world, but not here.
is that in the picture?
That's a leopard. Okay, that is his. The crocodile, and I don't know where the hippopotamus pictures are, but we did hippopotamus last year. We did a walrus and two seals, and they went to Poland. They put an addition on their museum in Warsaw.
When I was there, Jim was mounting a hawk It is definitely not for everyone. And as Jim puts it, you get your hands dirty.
If you're going to do this, you got to be willing to get your hands dirty.
But Jim seems to really love his job. Jim pays great attention to detail and cares about what he calls, quote, not disrespecting an animal.
So you don't want to disrespect the animal. I gave it a rough combing. I'll give it another combing and blowing it with a vacuum. You know, the blowing end of a vacuum cleaner does the same as a hair dryer would do for a woman.
They kind of fix its hair.
Yeah, and make it look decent.
The teeth you see in there,
they're not real either. And you were talking about showing different expressions.
Now his nose is wrinkled.
Yeah, and there's another one. When people want something looking nasty, you got to learn where to put your wrinkles. A bear, for instance, nasty. He'll have his mouth wide open coming at it.
How much freedom do you usually get with your customers creatively?
As to being creative? Lots.
Yeah?
They're usually very good. Yeah, like is everything that has to be all repainted, all your colors returned. The detail. A lot of people would forget in here, you know, the pads. They got to be redone. That's the skin off the real pad that's in there. Now, if I just leave it, it's going to look terrible. So you got to get the right color, paint the pads, paint the lips, blend them around the eyelids. And it's just basically bringing out the detail in it. And it's a must.
I did, of course, have to ask him about the jackalope.
But I have a set of horns over there, mm-hmm. which are the right ones for a jackalope, which is a jackrabbit head with antelope horns. And they're the darndest thing to make because the skull doesn't have those horns on them. You got to put them on. And it doesn't work out that good. But we have done them. Like 40 years ago, we used to do a lot of them. People thought that was the neatest thing. But the thing is with those, they look pretty neat.
There's also the freezer out back in a different building. Jim took me there to see where they keep all the animals that haven't been gutted or mounted yet. It's a huge walk-in freezer with piles of plastic bags of dead animals.
Now these are all bears that got to be done. This is garbage. You can't just throw your garbage out because it's going to go rotten if you do. So we freeze everything, and when we're having the garbage taken away, then we take it out of the freezer and it goes.
These are just sort of like the whole body, kind of.
These are all fish up there.
Okay.
Those are bears. The hides, the heads are still in them.
Ooh. Wow. I didn't think about the remains. Now, is there something that you have to do with all those guts and stuff?
Yeah.
What do you have to do?
Well, we freeze them, and then we have them taken away for us, disposed of.
Does that cost a lot of money to have the...
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a dead body, you have to...
Well, it's just, it'll rot. You can't leave stuff to rot, eh?
Yeah. Taxidermy may be a dying field, but the way Jim describes it, it is an art. And Jim, along with his coworkers, are artists.
And so, I don't know, you do it as art, just like a painting.
He and his brother Dave, who works as a taxidermist alongside Jim, pointed out to me that if it weren't for taxidermy, we wouldn't get to see a lot of the animals in museums that are extinct today. Here's Dave, Jim's brother.
Preserve them forever, I guess.
Yes. I mean, if it wasn't for taxidermy, in some of the museums, most children would never see the animals that are there. They would never, ever see anything anymore. Because animals are in some species, are, you know, like you take African animals or something like that. They're basically something that a kid never sees. Most of the kids around here don't even know what a bear looks like. And a lot of them don't even know what a bear looks like. So they come in here quite often. They'll look around to see what the animals look like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an educational thing as much as it is for the person that wants to get it done.
And for people who will never get to go on safari, because of Jim's work and other taxidermists, we can see those animals up close. And finally, I asked Jim about Bodies, the exhibit, and what he thought about it from a taxidermist's perspective. Now, I know taxidermy is a lot different, but I wanted to see what he thought.
Mounted animals look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if the person that does them is an artist, the animal will look like it's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Maybe those people look like they're alive too, but they don't do a thing for me. Whoever did those was good. He's probably a good artist, but I wouldn't want to try it.
No, it would be a different thing.
No, they got to have fur or feathers.
For CKUW, I'm Jennifer Formusevich.